Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. We are now on the Mishnah in Masachet Gittin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Bet. Today will be a relatively short piece. We're going to go to the Mishnah in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Right now we're looking at Mishnah Chet in the middle of Mem Zayin Mem Vav Amud Bet. Hamotziyat Ishto Mishum Ailunit. If a man divorces his wife because she seems to be an Ailunit, unable to bear children, Rabbeinu says, later on he cannot return her. The assumption here is that she married somebody else, had kids, the other fellow died, and now he wants to marry her, remarry her. Rabbeinu says he can't. Chachamim disagree and say he can. That indicates that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned with kilkul. In other words, with saying, had I known you were able to give birth, I never would have divorced you, thus putting her entire get into question, perhaps negating it, and therefore her new marriage and her kids are now stigmatized, etc., as we had before. The Rabbi Yehuda would seem to say that that is a real concern, and therefore we tell him, if you're going to divorce her because she's an island, you'll never be able to remarry her to protect her. Chum disagree. Now, Niseit Liacher Vayula Banim Himenu, which is the circumstance we're talking about where she married someone else and had kids, Vitovak Tubata, she's still married to the guy, and now she turns around to her original husband and says, now I want my ktubah. You divorced me without a ktubah because you thought I was an Ailanit. Obviously, I'm not an Ailanit because I have kids. Now I want my ktubah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer La Shtikutech Yafa Midiburech. Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, he could turn to her and say, you're better off being silent than saying anything. Because if you claim that you really weren't an Ailanit, and therefore you see that, we see that because you have kids, then that means that the original get really might not have been a valid get, in which case you're going to hurt yourself much, much more, and by the way, you would lose the ktubah in any case. So you're much better off being quiet. Now, the Gemara immediately points out that Rabbi Yehuda, in the earlier Mishnah, in dealing with Motzit Ishto Mishum Neder, was the one who disagreed and said, if you divorce your wife because of a neder, you may remarry her, unless it's a neder that's publicly known, because then it's not revocable, and it can't be repudiated or changed. And therefore if the neder was such that she cannot live with him, that can be changed. Now, the Meber Rabbi Yehuda Chayish L'Kukula, Rabban Allah Chayish L'Kukula, so it sounds like the Rabbi Yehuda is concerned with Kilkul, with disrupting her life, and Rabban Allah aren't concerned with that? V'ha'ipcha Shemin Elohu, we have the exact opposite position when it comes to the earlier Mishnah. Non ha'motzeit ishto mishum shemra lo'yachzir mishum neder lo'yachzir. Yehuda Omer, kol neder she'edu bo rabim lo'yachzir, v'shelo yedu bo rabim yachzir. And in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda disagreed, as I mentioned, and said that if you divorced your wife because of a neder, you could remarry her afterwards. And we're not concerned that you're going to turn around and say, aha, had I known that you were going to, that neder was releasable, or that, you know, it wasn't so severe, then I wouldn't have divorced you, thus throwing her situation into turmoil. We don't say such a thing. Alright, so Alma Rabbanon Chayish L'Kukula, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chayish L'Kukula. So you see that the Rabbanon are concerned with disruption, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned. Amar Shmuel Epuch. So Shmuel says very simply, our Mishnah should be turned around. It's Rabbanon who says she can't remarry, he can't remarry her, and Rabbi Yehuda says he can. V'hamini tani sefer nisid l'acher v'ayula banim hemenu. V'hi tovak tovatam Rabbi Yehuda omer lash tikutech yafami diburech. But the second half of our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yehuda explicitly who says, you're better off being quiet because again, the concern is that he could say, well then my original get was not a get because I didn't know that you were able to bear children. So v'chlad Rabbi Yehuda chayish l'kukula. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's concerned with such a thing. So Shmuel says something here, perhaps Shmuel saying it, that really is strange. Hanami Epuch. You could turn this one around too. Now, the problem with this is that when you turn something around doing an Epuch, that means that statement A was said by X and statement B was said by Y. So you turn around and say, okay, statement A was said by Y, statement B was said by X, and there was some confusion in the transmission. But here, there's only Rabbi Yehuda saying something. To turn around and say Epuch, meaning this is really Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yehuda, is a little more difficult. So therefore, Abayamar le'olam l'tefuch, and Abay in general is the one who is in favor of maintaining the transmission the way it is, and explaining it differently. Rabbi Yehuda v'ahi savalakor belazer. The answer is that when it comes to the Darim, Rabbi Yehuda adopts the positions both of Rabbi Elazar and of Rabbi Meir when it comes to intricacy of Nedarim. If you recall, and we have this just a couple of podcasts ago, Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that the only kind of neder that you could, that if you divorced a wife based on a particular neder, the only one that, that would prevent you from remarrying her is a neder that needs chakirat chacham, that needs, that it's intricate and needs a chacham to look into it to see whether or not it can be revoked. The reason is that Rameir says a man doesn't mind if his wife would have to go to Beit Din. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, is really of the opinion that it's only the simple nadarim that are the problem, because as a person who never wants his wife to have to go to Beit Din to have that clarified, and that's not what he had in mind. So therefore, Rabbi says that Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah agrees with both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir in the lenient side. But tzarich savar lak Rabbi Elazar, v'she'enot tzarich savar lak Rabbi Meir, which means that in neither case would he be disrupting? In other words, he would mind his wife going to Beit Din, and therefore, if it was an intricate neder, that's one that he would not, come back and say, oh, had I known that you could have, changed it, I would not have divorced you, because he would not have wanted it. And when it comes to a simple neder, he holds like Rabbi Meir, which is a person who never divorced his wife. On a simple letter, he would look into it first and see if he could clarify. And if he didn't, that means he really didn't want to stay married to her. So there is really no concern with Kilkula, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that's Abaye's solution. Rava tags something on, doesn't disagree. He says, I'm a Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha. You find a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. Within Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan lo Kasha, but you didn't find the fact that the Rabbanan in Neder say, we're concerned about disruption, and here in Ireland, we're not concerned. So Rabbanan lo Kasha. I can solve that one too. Amar Rava Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lokasha Rabbi Karshininon. We already gave an answer, two answers. Rabbi Lokasha, I can, and the, there is no contradiction within the Rabbanan. Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim in our Mishnah? Reb Meir. Now this is a different position of Reb Meir that we're going to rely on. Amar Ba'ina Tanaik Kofel. Reb Meir in the Mishnah in Kiddushin Masach Kiddushin Perek Gimel Mishnah Bet is famous for presenting the opinion that any condition for it to be a valid condition that has legal standing must be a doubled condition. A Tanaik Kofel, meaning you have to state the condition and then the result, and then the negation of the condition and the negative result. And the model for that, of course, is the condition made by B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain in with Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, if we go and fight first, then we get the land on the East Bank, and if we don't get the land fight first, then we will stay on the West Bank. Right, we'll hear it on the West Bank. And therefore, v'hachav, ma'eskin v'lo kafle t'nai. And in our case, what happened? The guy did not double the t'nai, which means he didn't say to her, I'm divorcing you because you're an Islandite. And I'll say, if you weren't an Islandite, I wouldn't be divorcing you, which means he doesn't have any ability later on to come back and say that get is invalid, and therefore there's no disruption possible. And therefore, Rabbanan said there's no chashash here. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the beginning of Mishnah Tet, we're only going to do this first piece today, and in the last podcast, we'll do the end of Mishnah Tet, along with its attendant Gemara. Hamocher tatzomot banav lo'avdei kochavim. We talked here about somebody who gets sold to non-Jews. What if somebody sells himself to non-Jews? Ein podinoto. We don't redeem him. Because here this guy is taking some money to go be a slave for non-Jews. Then he's turning it and falling on the mercy of the court. Please help me out. I'm being enslaved by these non-Jews. We're redeeming him. And this is something that could become a very unpleasant and manipulative pattern. But after the father dies, we do redeem the kids because we're afraid the kids are going to grow up in this environment, which is very bad, and they're not to blame. And once father's gone, there's no more reason to think that he's going to continue the pattern because he's not there. Now, Ravasi says, this is not true unless the fellow sold himself and a second time and a third time. He clearly made a habit out of it. Just because one guy sells himself one time, he's in terrible straits, and the only way out seems to be to sell himself, and the only one who's going to buy him is this non-Jew. All right, we have Rachmanos. But the minute it becomes a pattern, then we already do not redeem him. Now, we have several stories. Hanu b'nei b'michsi. They were a particular family. They borrowed money from non-Jews. When it came time to pay, they had no money to pay back. So the non-Jews came and grabbed them and seized them as slaves. Out to the commander Ravuna, they somehow came to Ravuna. Ravuna said, what can I do for you? Our Mishnah says, I can't redeem you. Amarle Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Abba turned to Ravuna and said, Limatana Rabbeinu Hu Shemachar Shana Vishilesh, you quoted Ravasi, or he said the same thing as Ravasi, saying that's only true if they have a pattern. And these guys just got taken, what we think is, for the first time, seized as slaves because of their debt. Amarle Hani Mirgal Regili De Avdihachi. Ravuna says, I know this family. They do this all the time. They regularly borrow money, and then if they can't pay it back, then they end up being enslaved, Right. So when he can't redeem them. Hahu Gavra the Zoming Nafshe Ludai. There was a fellow who sold himself to the Ludari, which is the gladiators. And that is a situation of life and death. He ended up being killed. Atakam Rabbi Ami. He came to Rabbi Ami. Amarle, Pirkan, please redeem me. Amarle, Tanan Mocher Atzom Banav Lovdi Kochavim Ein Podinoto. Avonina Banim. So he said, I can't. The Mishnah says, I can't redeem you because you sold yourself. But the fellow pointed out, but you are allowed to redeem the children because, why is that? Because we don't want the children to get messed up. Here, it's worse than getting messed up. They're going to kill me. So certainly you should redeem me. So the student said to Rav Ami, Hi Yisrael Mumarhu, we know that this guy is not such an observant Jew. We see he eats non-kosher food. So Amar Lahu, Rav Ami tried to defend him and said, maybe he's eating because what's called Mumar Lateyavun, meaning that he's got a big appetite and that's what's available. Could even make it a little bit, put a different spin on it. That's all they're giving him to eat. He has to eat. Amrulay, so they said, but sometimes they put kosher food and non-kosher food in front of him. He deliberately takes the non-kosher food. So Amrulay, so Rav Ami then said to this fellow, Zil, you better go. They're not going to let me redeem you. And said, you clearly are somebody who's taking advantage of the community because you're not concerned with observance. You're selling yourself. You like the life of the gladiators. You understand there's a risk involved. That way you're making some money. Then you're coming to us and asking us to help you. We can't do it. All right, Rish Lakish. This famous story about Rish Lakish, and as we learned about Sachet Bava Metzir, Rish Lakish, who was Rabbi Yochanan's brother-in-law and student and one of the great Chachamim of the first generation of Amoraim, started out as a thug. He wasn't an observant man. Zavi Nafshe Ludoi. He sold himself to the gladiators. Shako Bahade Chaita Bagogalta. He took a pouch of some sort with a rock in it, a hard rock. And that was what he kept with him. Amar Gmiri, what was his reason? I know the Yoma Batra, on the last day of somebody's life, called the Bayominayu Avdile. This is something we're familiar with from literature and et cetera, of the idea of a last request. I know that on the last day of somebody's life, they'll give him his request. Why? Very interesting idea. They want to have atonement for his blood. They know they're going to kill the guy. They figure the way they get atonement is giving him a last request, a last cigarette, as it were. Yoma Batra, so on the day that was supposed to be his last day, Amrule, my nechalach, what would you like? Amrulehu, abayina akamtinchu avotvinchu. I want to tie you down. Chochad minaychu amche chaita upalga. I want to give each one of you 1.5 blows, hit you 1.5 times. Right, whatever that means. Kamtinu, they didn't know how strong he was. They also didn't know that he had this rock. Kamtinu ve'odvinu kochad minayu. He did it. Kadmach yechad chayta nafak nishmate. So every time he hit somebody with one blow, he killed him. Charkine l'shine. So one of the fellows started kind of gritting his teeth at Rosh Lakish. So what did Rosh Lakish say? Amarle, achuchi kamachaychet bi. You're laughing at me? Akati Pashlach Gabe Palgadachaita, I still have another half blow I can give you. Katlinu Lakulu, and then he ended up killing all of them. So you see he was both a sharp guy, a very tough guy. Nafak Vaata, he left these guys, Yativ Kaachavashati, and then he would sit and eat and drink. This is a description of his life. Amrale Barte, so his daughter said to him, Lo bite, midi the mizgale, don't you need anything to lie on? This is another story of Rav Shulker's life. Amarla Biti Kresi Kari. My stomach is my bed. In other words, even though he was wealthy, did well, he would always eat up the proceeds. He didn't even have a bed to sleep on. He slept like a camper on his stomach. When he died, all he left was one kav of some sort of vegetable as an inheritance. Kari anafshe, he said about himself, they left their wealth for others. In other words, he never accumulated wealth because after that experience, he learned to, and perhaps not necessarily a good thing, but he learned to spend whatever he got and to eat up the proceeds. That's where he was. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we'll do the second half of Mishnah Tet, which is in the middle of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, which will take us all the way to the end of the parak on Mem Chet Amud Bet, and we will investigate some of the issues relating to Bikurim and Yesh Kinyan L'Goy L'Hafkia Ba'aretz. Everyone should have a wonderful day.